There are dimensions hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord, found in the very Word of God, which is expressly made known by the Holy Spirit. Join me as we welcome the ministration of God's servant, Pastor Sheyi Osonibi, at Diocese 2019, the warfare of the kingdom. Relax, relax, and enjoy the ministration.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. Please, can we have our seats? Once again, I'd like to appreciate the Lord for this day, for keeping us and for preserving us. I bless His name in Jesus' name. I also want to thank my fellow servant, Reverend Ken Ibinidion. Yeah, thank you for coming, sir. I hope I got the pronunciation. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I appreciate your being around to help us. I want to thank appreciate the presence of my son, Pastor Walewa Sonye. God bless you. And every one of you that's seated. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. They're still working on the sound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Father, we commit this morning session to your hands in the name of Jesus. I trust the Holy Spirit that you will help us and that the structures that you direct us to build, you will help us to build it in Jesus' name. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the purpose, one of the cardinal reasons for this meeting is for the equipping of young people who have a pull by the Lord towards leadership positions. It's possible you are in leadership now, and it's possible you may not be in leadership. But I want to show you one or two things in the Word to show you that technically, every child of God is called into leadership. Praise God. What did I say? Every child of God is called to leadership. Matthew chapter 5. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount, we begin to see certain declarations that Jesus made. Verse 13, 14 to 16. Let's take it from 13 to 16. It says, you are. Everybody say, you are. That is a declaration. It's not a suggestion. You are the salt of the earth. That presupposes that there is a functionality of every believer to recognize that he or she is salt. Amen. I said amen. And one of the cardinal nature or properties of salt is that of positive influence. What I say it is? Influence. It's not a matter of whether you were born as a leader or you were not born into leadership. Of course, in management, we have different schools of thought. But two prominent schools of thought in management suggest that some people are born as leaders. And another says, no, you learn management. Praise God. You learn leadership. But technically, as a child of God, you were born into leadership. Praise God. He said you are the salt of the earth. So not only are you have the capacity to influence, you have the capacity to preserve. Amen. If you do not recognize that, you'll be falling short of your spiritual mandate, of your calling. Please, I want us to take our minds out of fellowship paradigm and just assume you are just an ordinary brother. You are just standing alone and you are trying to understand your role in the kingdom. Do you understand me? Amen. And speaking to us irrespective of our religious background. Let's just talk Bible. Is that fair? Praise the Lord. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And he said, but if the salt loses what? Its savor. It's very, you will not understand this because you have never seen salt that you kept in your mother in your kitchen lose its taste. I don't know whether you have had that experience. You bought salt and after 20 years you went back to check it and it has lost its taste. Is that it? No. But in the time Jesus was speaking, salt came as salt rock. Sure, you understand. And over time, because of its hydroscopic, I don't know. Abby, is that the language some of you? If you didn't do chemistry, oh no, praise God bless you. Hydroscopic means that it can absorb moisture from the air. Over time, it loses and it flows away. And what you have is just ordinary rock. You can't use it for anything. So when you say salt loses its savour, that means it's no more salty. That rock stone is no more salty because the real salt, is it ingredient? We call it ingredient or the real salt that is inside it has gone, has melted and has flowed out. So just have pure rock to eat. And so what does they say they do with it? They said it's good for nothing. That is to suggest to you that if you don't fulfill your calling, you are useless to God. And remember, he warned us in John chapter 15 that any branch that does not bear fruit, what do? They cut it away. You will not be unfruitful in Jesus' name. God will make you fruitful. So I want you to have it at the back of your mind that it is incumbent upon you to be fruitful. If there is anything they call destiny, this is your destiny. Do you understand me? This is your destiny, that there is no demon in hell that can stop you or take it from you. Praise God. Because you are configured to be a salt. And I'm praying that you will not lose your saltiness in Jesus' name. So, next, verse 14. He now said this again. So, please understand these metaphors. He now said, not only are you salt, he now says you are what? You are light. You are what? You are light. Just please take time to think about what I'm trying to say. You are light. In the book of Isaiah chapter 60, it says, arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of God is risen upon you. Praise God. Pastor, you are welcome. Mommy, you are welcome. Praise God, Pastor D, you are welcome. Hallelujah. It says, gross darkness. No, darkness are called people and gross darkness the nations. Now, if you have ever been in a room, maybe there was, you had light, and suddenly NEPA zipped light. Hallelujah. Technically, all of us, we cannot move. Now, somebody who is a non-entity by definition of those in the room, suddenly strikes a match. Automatically, that person becomes the leader in that scenario. Because if we all have to get out from that place, none of us can find our way out of that room. It's the person that has the light that does what? That leads the way. He has automatically become who? The leader. You may not like him. He may not be as handsome as you would have wanted him to be. But at that moment, he is the leader. Praise God. And so when God says you are the light of the world, he tells you that leadership is thrust upon you even at birth. Amen. You have to understand this. You must have this consciousness in your mind all the while that the whole world is in darkness and God is dependent upon you to give light to the world. Amen. Now the question is, what kind of light are you shining? There is blue light. All kinds of lights exist. Praise God. But you know that you really cannot drive with green light at night. With a car, your light is green and you are driving in the night. I can guarantee you will not go far before you eat something. Because nobody can see properly with green light. You need white light. Praise God. And that's the reason why we are doing all this, to make sure that you shine properly anywhere you are. Praise God. Without a sense of appreciation of who you really are, you are not likely to appreciate the responsibility that has been thrust upon you as a believer. And what it means to be a light of the world is simple. What does light do? Light enables men not only to see, but also to be able to define things. Praise God. There are standards that Satan has defined for people. And people out there are looking at you to help them see the standards of God. But it becomes a problem when you also conform to their standards. You see, Paul was preaching the same thing in Romans chapter 12. He said, don't be conformed. Because you are the light. Because once you conform to darkness, you become dark. Are you with me? So it's important that you please, your identity is very, very important. Nothing is as dangerous as a lack of appreciation of your real identity. Amen. Amen. Please, it goes beyond church stickers. I remember, I don't know who told us that story, of two brothers. They clashed, they bashed each other, they hit each other along Allen Avenue. And they came down and criticized Lagos Way. You hit my car, what do you mean? They were going to throw punches. So one now noticed the sticker. Are you a winner? Are you two a winner? So you two are a winner. Okay, because you are a winner. The matter finished. Praise God. It goes beyond sticker. My friend said many years ago, we have more born-again cars than owners. Do you understand me? Let it go beyond born-again cars. Let it go to your personality. What kind of light do you beam? And what kind of light do people see? Jesus Christ said that you are a city. Now use another metaphor, a city. Three metaphors there. Salt, light, city. Everybody gravitates to the city. Nobody carries his leg and wakas to village. It's not done. It's not normal. Only retired men retire to the villages. Praise God. People have given up on life and they just want to die. But people migrate. They congregate around cities. Praise the Lord. And so if you use the word, that metaphor that you are a city, we will ask ourselves, what does that imply in real sense? And speaking about leadership, do you understand me? Are you with me? When people come into city, they expect to find opportunities. Praise God. When people come around you, what kind of opportunities do they find when they mill around you? They expect to find resources there. Can we find resources within you? Do you have the capacity to retain resources? And he now said that this is a city that is set on a hill. That means we are visible to all. What many of you do not understand that both heavens and hell and the earth are watching you. They are watching us. Somebody picked a taxi. Was it taxi? And it was coming. He said he was coming to PGT. And the taxi driver said, is that not Pastor Shea or Service Church? The guy who looked at the taxi driver. I don't know him. He said, yes. Oh, the son of late Dr. Soevi, he said yes. And the man began to give the brother a download of my profile. And I don't know the driver. I don't know the tax. I don't take taxis. Praise God. I used to. But I don't know more. I no more take taxis. Praise God. So I did not know that people in town knows me. Pastor Tayo, you're welcome, sir. God bless you. Let's appreciate Pastor T. Amen. I did not know that people in town know me. There was a particular day like that. Somebody picked my car and he drove and drove. And they texted them and said, better be careful. Otherwise, we will report you to the owner of the car. I don't know them. But they know who has the car. Pastor, you may think they don't know you, they know you. They will keep quiet, but they know you. When something happens, you say, are you not Pastor Bello? That's how you know you're in trouble. Praise God. Somebody once told me I should go on air. I said I can't go on air because of I normally fight taxi drivers. Kind of people. They will tell you your name. Are you not the one on television? Do you follow me? So now I've developed a new technology with the Okada. When they get me angry, I park beside him. I say, guys, you have not died before. Maybe if you die once, you will know now. That's not abuse, Abby. It's not that. Just the cancer. When you die once, you will not drive like this again. Praise God. But the essence of what I'm trying to say is that you are visible to all. You can't hide. You may say they don't know you. They know you. The people in the natural world know you. The people in the unseen realm, they know you. Remember the seven sons of Sceva we spoke about? They say Jesus we know, Paul we know. How did they know Paul? They just knew Paul. Praise God. They just know. You see, in spiritual warfare, in spiritual battles, especially when you come against demons, somehow, they don't see your natural configuration. It's actually your invisible configuration that they see. If you are naked, they will know you are not clothed. They will see your nakedness. And they will know that you have no authority to deal with them. But when you are clothed with the right robe, which is called the righteousness of the saints, they will know. If you have committed anything that is wrong, there will be a stain. They will know. They see through us. Praise the Lord. So you are visible to the whole creation. Therefore, you must have a sense of responsibility. I'm not sure that someone like Pastor Adeboye can get down while he's coming for a crusade here, and he gets down and says, I want to pee on the road. Praise the Lord. Do you understand me? Why will he not do that? Because it's already it's an household name, it's visible. If he gets down, there will be traffic in that place, there will be a traffic jam. And the tire blows, Pastor Baby caught peeing against the wall on the road. It will be a disaster.
That was the day, guys.
Okay.
About 12 years ago.
12 years?
When,
wow.
ShopRite.
Okay.
Okay. So you also wanted to have a look. Instead of a professor,
bought
jeans and t-shirts.
And every scam.
Initially, people didn't recognize him. When he entered, when he saw somebody from the shop spotted him, he came out.
Pandemonium. You are a city set. They are looking at you. They know. That's why you cannot do anything. You can't behave anyhow. You cannot say anything. Because you have been set on the hill and you are visible to all. You can't just... You must have that consciousness. And I guess Pastor must have stopped going to pretending and wearing face cap. Because it's visible. Praise the Lord. You are visible to all. Carry the consciousness that you are representing a person. Are you with me? Like Pastor Roger Milo, you are welcome. Not there. I know you are humble. Not there. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Are you with me, church? Now, these are the issues we must understand. Pastor Benga Shafei told us in the course of this meeting, I was going to dress anyhow, and his wife said, this your dressing is not good. He said, what's your business? He said, it's not because of you, but you are representing some people. He said, who am I representing? He said, first and foremost, you are representing me. Before you are representing, that was Jesus first. This is the real person. Hallelujah. If you have this consciousness, many of the challenges we have will be dealt with. Hallelujah. It is well in Jesus' name. The second thing I want to say to us, because I'm talking about foundations, because see, in leadership, every organization rises or falls based on the quality of leadership that is driving it. Amen. If we have a poor leadership structure, we have poor quality leadership, we have poor representatives of those value systems, you'll find that that organization will go nowhere. The church is a product. We are going through the situation we are going through because of the quality of the people that is driving things. Hallelujah. But we know that Jesus, in choosing his disciples, did not choose men anyhow. The Bible says he carefully and prayerfully chose those men. And they were proper representatives of his person. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that if we're going to represent Jesus and represent the kingdom properly to our generation, we must be properly built and prepared for the challenges ahead. So I want to look at this aspect again of leadership. It's called foundations. Praise God. Let us look at Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 6. Jesus spoke about foundations. 6, verse 47. 6, 47. Are you there? Okay. Now, Jesus Christ said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. 48. He is like a man which built an house and diggeth deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. Verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. I want us to take certain things away here. Number one, that house is your life. Tell your neighbor, that house is your life. That house is a representative of your life. You must know how to build. You must understand the dynamics and you must understand the fundamentals of building. Praise God. And he said that the other thing you must understand is that what happened, the same thing happened to those two houses. Rain fell. Matthew called it flood came. They all experienced the same attack. I want to believe that they both had the same architectural design. So they built the same kind of house. Praise God. But the difference between the houses was what? Foundation. I've watched documentaries on solid buildings. The Empire State Building that was put down in America, which was one of the first very, very high skyscrapers. When they dug the foundation, they said the foundation is deeper than the structure itself. The pillars that went into the earth is taller than the Empire State Building. And they said that there's no way that building can ever, ever fall. When the wind is blowing, you just doing like this. Just doing like this. And every time you come back to its position. Can't we? But when you ask yourself, why do we have building collapses in Nigeria? They say poor materials. No. It's foundational. It's foundational. When you look at the house and you see cracks that goes through the wall, it's foundation. The same thing you see in the natural is what happens to us in the real life, in spiritual. Foundation. And you cannot put, you see, it's like people trying to, you have a one-story foundation and you have tried to put a skyscraper on it. It won't last. So I want to ask you, what kind of structure do you envisage God wants to use your life to build? A one-story building? Or is it a one-story building or flats? Because you can build flats and build one-story building, you can build two-story building, or you want to build a skyscraper. People like Smigwigglesworth, Paul, in the spirit could be likened unto skyscrapers. Praise God. But if you look at the way God dealt with them, it took time to settle their foundations. It was meticulous with their foundations. Praise God. And when you talk about the way foundations are built, you not only must you also consider the structure, the structural integrity of the way the things are done. You must be very careful about the quality of materials used. And not just quality of materials, the skillfulness of the workers you deploy to the work. There's a building at Leo Junction. When you take, if you take a taxi here and say, go take me to Leo Junction, you see a massive building. It will be on your left if you are going from here. Massive, about 4 or 5 story building. The house looks, wow, this is big. One of our four skyscrapers in Akure, hallelujah. If you enter the house, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Every step you take, I don't, the house will shake. I say, Lord, have mercy. And then I asked, who built this? They said it was a bricklayer. Bricklayer put that thing together. The man is an American. Was sending money to a bricklayer to put a structure like that. On a good day, the government should have just taken a bulldozer to pull it down. One day, that thing will collapse. It's a matter of time. But you know Nigerians, our God will not let it happen. It's just one day. One big wind will just blow. And that wind, you see, there are certain winds that are not running with, they are demons. When that wind is blowing, when we packed to our house, one wind used to attack that area. They said we needed to do a tutu before that wind stopped. Imagine you have a house here. There's your tank is here. Sure, you understand. There are buildings. The wind will go around and go like that. I'm going to destroy one person's building. It was just picking buildings that... this is not natural. The thing attacked my gate and was going to break down my gate. I had to stand and say, from today, you don't come here again. Spirit in it. That was what rain that fell. There are spirits. They will attack your house. They will attack every house. So you don't need to have offended. Once any house is built, the rain will come. The flood will beat. And it will not just beat, it will beat vehemently. And so if the foundation is wrong, the building will come down. So I want to ask you, what materials were used in building your foundation? Who were the people that built your foundation? Did they use quality materials? Did they deploy skill, time, proper resources to build you? If you were not properly built, it will show in the future. In the future, we'll see the problem in the future. So I want us to look at certain things that Paul called that are very, very foundational that I believe you and I need to be well grounded in. Hebrews chapter. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, before I go to Hebrews, I want to also, let me share this. Take me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Paul said to Timothy, this was Paul's admonition to his son Timothy. He said, hold fast the form of what? Sound words. Because it takes words to build these structures. Are you with me? Why is it that when... Let me ask this question. Why is it that, sir, when a child that goes to Molurobo Grammar School and a child that attended KC, they are not the same? Even though they taught them the same syllabus. Any idea why they are not the same? Sir Elizabeth, can you help me? Why do you think they are not the same? Even they did the same SSE syllabus, I guess. Yeah. Or why are they not the same? Eh? Quality of teachers. What do teachers bring to bear upon them? They are more rigorous. First season of 21st century. They didn't teach me that one.
No, it was
okay, for teachers, okay. Okay.
Then there are techniques of teaching. Private schools do what we call development. I mean, I know I want to learn so much of the thing, but almost everything you know.
Can you hear her properly? Go on, I don't have the time. I will interpret. Sorry.
They are adding techniques to. So if I train SS3 and they go, we look for the errors in SS3. We come to SS2, we fix them. They are consciously working on those things. And then there are ways we learn how to manage children. We understand that every child is not the same thing. Population also matters. Government schools has a crowd. As a teacher, you cannot manage 100 students. But in a private
school, in the university, we have 200 in the class.
But no, sir, the techniques are different. There's a
That's
difference.
Why the graduate from Harvard is not your mate, even though you went to FUTA.
There's a difference between teaching and lecturing. Yes. In education, there's a difference.
That's why many of us are failing. All right. Now, what I wanted to bring up from what you just said is this. The quality of words you hear, the kind of person you engage with, you have not even spoken about your mates, their worldview, the things you keep sharing, the visions they keep sharing with you, has a way of sharpening your worldview. So if you went to Omolurogo, most of whose mates are basically people that came from that background of selling beans and selling granuts, what do you think they will be sharing with you? And you are coming from somebody whose parents go to America and they come and you are hearing those things, definitely your worldview will be different. Hallelujah. So that's why you must be careful the kind of friends you choose. Hallelujah. My time is up. But let me just quickly use about 5 minutes to round up. Therefore, Paul said, hold fast the form of what? Sound words, which thou art heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So the kind of people you expose yourself to really matters how your house is built. So I want to encourage you, please be careful how you open your heart. Praise God. Learn and distinguish between sound words and vain words. You must learn how to distinguish it. Because listen to me. The Word of God said that there are many voices in the world. All of those voices are clamoring for your attention. You must have a filtering system that will only allow sound words to come through. You have to develop those. That part, it is imperative you learn to do that. Praise God. Like somebody said, Egan is their spiritual father. Egan is in America. We are here in Nigeria, where is their spiritual father. And I'm just using that as a metaphorical example. You need somebody close who can speak to your life and help you build your house. One last thing. Give me Hebrews. Let me finish on Hebrews. I will just raise that matter. I'll just establish it. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Paul was now saying this. This is basically the foundation of Christianity. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Earlier on, he had rebuked the Hebrew believers of being childish, of having need of milk, not of meat. Amen. Please, meat and milk are basically food that we eat. Amen. But the indicative of your age, your natural progression. Are you with me? Peter spoke about you taking in the sincere milk of the word. Praise God. Which is the milk? It's sincere. It's pure. In its pure form. Hallelujah. And so you find out that as you grow, every part of your body should also grow alongside. So over a period of time, say over a period of a year or two, we assume that your teeth should begin to come out. You should begin to start eating something more solid. Now, what is milk? Milk are the basic instructions of the faith. Things that you should not have problem digesting. For example, now that you are born again, we don't expect you to smoke. That demand is not supposed to be grievous. Abi? It's the demands that you are able to digest. Do you understand me? Don't fornicate. Don't tell lies again. They are basic things. That's the milk. Now, as you grow, higher demands will be placed on you. Higher doctrines and teachings will be placed on you that you have to learn to digest. Now, I'll give an example of meat. They were asking Jesus the issue of marriage. And they said, but Moses said we can divorce. Anytime, anyhow, anyone. And Jesus Christ said, Moses permitted you because of the hardness of your heart. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And he said, then if that be the case, it is not good that we marry. That was hard. Have you eaten partially cooked meat? Meat that was not properly cooked. That you have to... And again, if a knife will ever work, because by the time you enter your mouth, you still have to stand. They said it was difficult. Then the one that was bone, that one was meat, the one that was bone, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And the Bible said they all turned away. Was they could not even ingest it. Do you understand meat and something? So Paul called this one the basic principles, which was supposed to have been their milk. Things they should have been grounded in, properly grounded in. And he called it what? The principles of what? The doctrine of Christ. He said, let us go on to perfection, not laying again that foundation. Every one of us must be grounded there. If you are not grounded here, your building is going to have problems in the future. There will be cracks as we put it up. And it's going to affect not only you, but those who will come after you. He called it what? Repentance for what? Dead works. You must go know that what that means. I don't have the time to start explaining dead works. And of faith towards God. And of what? Next verse, 2. And of the doctrine of what? Baptisms. Not one baptism. Baptisms. And of laying on of what? Of hands. And of what? Resurrection of the dead. And finally of what? Of eternal judgment. Do you know that these things they call doctrines of Christ were basically the teachings of the Old Testament? They're all the teachings of the Old Testament. This was the 6 things that God was trying to communicate to Israel that Israel never learned. And there is no way you can move forward except you are grounded here. You must know it. So look for materials. Find a way of teaching your people in fellowship. Meet people who can explain it to you. So that you will not become a giant. Like Reverend Ken said, when you now become giant and they now remove your skirt, they will see, there's a problem here. Praise God. I said, praise God. Don't wait until you get to the top. It will be too late at that point. Because it will be visible to all that your foundation.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGT Church. or visit our website www.pgcchurch.org. Thank you.